Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is good. He's awesome. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's merciful to us. And I'm truly thankful for yet another opportunity that the Lord has given to us tonight to come together around His Word. Wherever you are, around here in the continental United States, or anywhere you are joining us from around the world, thank you for joining us to partake of the precious Word of God. Whatever platform you are joining us on, thank you for being there. Hallelujah. I know that the Lord is with us. Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's right there in the midst of them. I know He's right here in our midst tonight. And I'm just going to have us share a word of prayer, and then we are going to dive right into the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together and let's just pray. Father, we thank You so much for tonight. This is the day that You have made, and Lord, we will rejoice, we will be glad in it. We're truly thankful, truly excited about another opportunity that You have given to us to come together around Your Word tonight. And I want to thank You for everyone of my brothers and sisters, everyone who's joining us tonight, wherever they are joining us from, on whatever platform they are joining us. Father, I pray Your blessings upon them and their families, their loved ones. I ask God that You give us illumination, give us understanding tonight. Precious Holy Spirit, this is Your service. We turn it over completely to You. I ask that You have Your way in our midst, that You do that which is pleasing unto Yourself, that which is that which glorifies You. Loosen my tongue, Lord, help me think Your thoughts and help me speak Your words. I give You the glory and the praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And glory to God. And thank You again for being here. I trust God that you are doing well and you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Last week, we started off this series of Bible studies or lessons that we have titled, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. The Lord is calling us to move that work forward, that work of transforming our minds so that we can receive the best of everything that God has for us. Amen. We read last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So, spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our soul is the seat of the mind, the will, the intellect, the emotions, and all of that. And our minds, really, regardless of what is going on in our spirit beings, regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we confess, it is our minds and the condition of our minds that determines the trajectory of our lives. That's what will determine how high we go. That's what will determine how much of God's word, how much of God's promises, and how much of God's purpose can actually be fulfilled in our physical lives so that we can achieve the destinies that God has ordained for us. In Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 8, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth, or that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God says, our thoughts are not, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And oftentimes, his ways are not our ways. And that is because our minds are different from his mind. Our thinking is different from his thinking. Our thoughts are different from his thoughts. Our ways are different from his ways, because our minds are different from his mind. Now, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. He has given to us his mind. Hallelujah. Well, if we took the gift of the mind of Christ, if we positioned our minds and renovated them and renewed them by the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we transform our thinking to be able to think like God, to be able to walk like God, then what the Lord said about what he produces will hold in our lives. What the Lord promised about what his word can accomplish will actually be our lived experiences. Amen. If our thoughts are his thoughts, if we can think like God, if we can receive the mind of Christ that we have been given, then, like he said, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in that whereto I sent it. Then God's word will work exactly the same way in our lives as well. The greatest limitation in every life, in the life of every believer, is the mind. The greatest limitation there is for every believer is the mind. That's why a lot is written about our minds in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. As a woman thinks, so is she. Our thoughts will ultimately determine our destiny, our productivity. Last week, I know we made a statement and said the measure of receptivity that our minds have to the things of the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God will determine the productivity that our lives will experience from the Word of God. The Word of God has promised us, prophetically we have been promised, Shalom. This is our year of God's Shalom, Jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. How much of that Shalom you and I experience this year will be largely determined by our minds. How much of God's jubilee you and I experience this year will be largely determined by our minds. Now, we are assuming that our spirits are in the right place. And praise God, right here at Abundant Life, we started out this year right. We started out as usual with our time of Daniel fasting, setting ourselves apart through times of fasting and prayer, dedications, devotions, spending time in the Word of God, positioning ourselves, practicing God's presence, making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. So our hearts, our spirits have been positioned, have been conditioned to really obtain God's best. But even though we receive God's best in our hearts, it is our minds that will determine how much of what God has invested in our lives, in our spirit beings, in our hearts, can actually be made manifest in our physical beings. So the Bible says right there in Proverbs 23 verse 7, let's read that. I'm going to just read a number of my scriptures, a number of my notes tonight. And I trust God that I can close earlier than I did last week. I did think I was going to close early last week, I promised, but I didn't keep that promise. Tonight, I'm trusting God, but I'm just going to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I do trust God that we will finish in good time here. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart or in his mind, so is he. Whatever you think is who you are. It's not just what you believe. What you believe is extremely important because everything begins with faith. If you believe you are prosperous, you are prosperous. If you believe the peace of God is resident in your life, then the peace of God is available to you and it will be resident in your life. If you believe you are protected from all harm and danger, then that's available to you. If you believe that the Word of God can heal your physical body, then that's what you're going to have. Whatever you believe is made available to you. Remember, Jesus said, to them that believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. But notice, he didn't say all things are done. He said all things are possible. And then, of course, in the Hebrews, the Word of God says, whosoever comes to God must believe. That's in Hebrews. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of them that please him, diligently seek him. And then in verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes available to us. Believing God makes available to us what the Lord has made available. What he has promised to us. It's a year of God's shalom. Jesus said, my peace I bequeath to you. Well, we have the peace of God. Jubilee. Freedom from every form of shackle, every form of bondage, every form of limitation in our lives. Jubilee is ours. Uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts and fresh oil. We believe it, that gives us access to the promise. It's now possible because we believe it. But it is our minds. It's our minds that determine how much of that promise is actually becomes a lived experience in our lives. When our minds take a hold of the promises of God, the conditions of our minds are so crucial to what God can do in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our minds, our souls, are so crucial to our well-being and to our prosperity in every area of our lives. I know last week I alluded to the parable of the sower, and I don't have the time to read that tonight, so I won't. But I alluded to it and talked about how several years ago I learned that how much is produced in our lives. You know, when the Bible says about the parable of the sower, and talking about, you know, some, when the sower went out, you know, some fell amongst, you know, fell on wayside. The birds of the air came and stole them away. Some fell among thorns. Some fell on rocks, and they grew for a while, and then because they didn't have roots, they eventually died out. But he says some fell on good ground, good soil, good hearts. But even amongst those that fell on good ground, some produced 30-fold, that's 30 times what was sown. Some produced 60-fold, 60 times what was sown. Some produced 100-fold. Well, what is it? What is it that determines how much, whether it's 30 or less than 30, like we shared last week, or 30 or 60 or 100? What is it that determines? Is it that the Lord just goes and says, okay, you will have 30, and she will have 60 because, you know, I like her better than you. And over here, that gentleman, he will have 100 because, yeah, I like him much better than the rest of you. Is that how this happens? No. It is, even when the heart is good, even when the soil is good, it is the proportion, how much our minds take hold. It's the how solid, how sound our minds are that determines how much can be produced in our lives. Let's go and read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Hallelujah. This is a very popular piece of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. God has given us. He has not given us the spirit of fear. Look at how the Amplified puts this. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of a sound mind, a calm, well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. Praise God. We have the spirit of a sound mind has been given to us. We can think like God thinks. We can make decisions like God makes decisions. We can go as high as we need to go in life based on the sound mind that we have received. But notice though, there it says, we have not received the spirit of fear. God has not given to us the spirit of fear. And then he says right there, he has not given unto us, in the Amplified, the spirit of timidity, cowardice, and all of those other things. Well, where do all those things come from? When a child of God still deals with fear, when a child of God still deals with anxiety, and I'm not talking about fear and anxiety and things like depression and worry and things like that that come and leave almost immediately. I'm talking about when they are there and almost resident in our lives, almost on a semi-permanent basis. How come? How come a child of God sometimes is saddled by discouragement, disappointment, despair, despondency? These things do come. They do come to every one of us. But how come for a lot of believers, they are actually resident in our lives? How come some of those things that don't amount to having a sound mind? The simple answer is that our minds have not received the gift of a sound mind that God has given to us. Hallelujah. So our thoughts are not his thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Because our minds that have been programmed for many years, long before we gave our lives to Christ, remain in that state unless we renovate it. And this work of renovation must be an ongoing work that continues every single day. Amen. When we gave our lives to Christ, our spirits were renewed, but our minds remained the same. I know you are not surprised that the same thoughts you had as an unbeliever, you could still have as a Christian who has been saved for many years. In fact, it's very easy to see. Sometimes you see how an unbeliever, an ungodly person thinks, and you look at a Christian thinking almost exactly the same thing, and you wonder sometimes, but I thought they were a Christian. Yeah, they're a Christian. They got renewed in their spirit. They got transformed. But their minds remained the same. Their minds were never renovated. So the Bible says there is a need to receive the spirit of a sound mind that God has given to us. The spirit of a sound mind that God has given to us, when we are really engaged, when we are really walking in that soundness of mind, then obviously there will be no fear. There will be no anxiety. There will be no worry. There will be no despondency. There will be no depression. You and I cannot walk in the sound mind that God has given to us and then we find ourselves depressed. It can't happen. A sound mind is a spiritual mind. A sound mind is the mind of God. It's a mind that can think like God. It's a mind that can process like God. It's a mind that can believe like God. It's a mind that can make decisions like God. You remember in Romans chapter 8, the Bible talks about a sound mind or a spiritual mind versus a carnal mind, or what the Bible describes as a mind that is focused on the flesh. Let's read together in Romans chapter 8. I'm way ahead of myself here, but let's go there and read as we lay some of these foundational thoughts. It says, Romans chapter 8 from verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, look at what he says in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. Remember, this letter is written to believers. This is not written to unbelievers. This is not written to ungodly people. It's not written to non-Christians. This is the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote. And here he's telling these believers that we have a choice between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded. That we make that choice every day to renovate our carnal minds, our minds that we came into Christ with, and exchange them every day for the mind of Christ. We have a choice between doing that or holding on to our carnal minds, our minds that always think the way they've always thought. Remember, every one of us, regardless of where you were raised, we were influenced. There were major influences on our lives before we gave our lives to Christ. Our families influenced our thinking. Our friends, our relationships influenced our thinking. The things we exposed ourselves to influenced our thinking, and they influenced the condition and the position of our minds. That's why if a child grows up hearing, you are not going to do well, 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 most likely, unless that stronghold is broken in the life of that child will probably struggle with that failure even after they give their lives to Christ. Unless they renovate their mind and begin to think like God and begin to think thoughts that God thinks towards them. He says, listen to this now in verse 6. He says, for to be carnally minded is death. So, to be carnally minded will lead to death. That is, will lead to a separation from the abundant life of Christ. No matter how much abundant life has been promised to us, if our minds remain unrenovated, unrenewed, untransformed, the life that God has made available to us will not be a lived reality. Instead of life, there'll be corruption. There'll be fear. There'll be anxiety. There'll be brokenness. There'll be despair. There'll be hopelessness. There'll be lack of trust. There'll be lack of belief. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the shalom, the life of God, the Zoe life of God, and the shalom that God has made available, that he has promised to us as his children, can only be fully experienced in a renovated mind. In a spiritual mind. If our minds do not lay hold on the newness of Christ, that newness that we receive when we give our lives to Christ, if our minds don't take hold of that new being and become renovated by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, then that mind will be excluded from the life of God and the peace of God that has been made available to it. Let's read this further. It says, verse 7, because the carnal mind, and there's so many different descriptions that the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, gives to mind one of these services, we're going to take the time to go through some of these different descriptions that the Word of God gives to minds. There are reprobate minds. There are alienated minds. There are hardened minds. There are darkened minds. Here we're reading about carnal minds. Because a carnal mind is a mind that is ruled mostly by physical things. The word carnal simply means physical. A carnal mind is a mind that is ruled mostly by physical impulses. What we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we touch. A carnal mind is a mind that is committed to the physical rather than be committed to the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit breathes upon our natural mind and we take the Word of God and we do the work that is required to renovate our carnal, our natural mind, those natural minds will become spiritual minds. And spiritual minds are minds that think like God. All of this affects every area of our lives. In our relationships, our minds determine how much we can prosper. In our spiritual walk, our minds determine how much we can prosper. In our physical lives, our physical beings, our physical bodies, our minds determine how much we can prosper. That's why that scripture in 3 John verse 2, that apostle prayed, I pray, he said, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the prosperity of the soul, and let's just be a bit more specific, the prosperity of the mind, how well the mind is doing, will determine to a large extent how well the body will do, how well our spirit will do. He says, let's read this further. I'm trying to move on real quickly while our time is running. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It can be a believer's mind, can be a child of God, a legitimate Christian. But if that Christian continues to carry and live from a carnal mind, a place of carnal mindedness, then they actually become enemies of God because they'll never think in line with the Word of God. They'll never see things like God sees them. My friends, it's so crucial that something happens in our mind to create change. When you renovate your mind, you will elevate your life. When you renovate your mind, you will elevate your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let's go and read here. Let's go and read from Ephesians. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read actually. So from verse 17, I think I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Ephesians chapter 4 And verse 17, I'm going to read from verse 17 all the way down to verse 24, I think. And I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Now, just before I do that, let's read from one of our long ago publications, from our Abundant Life publications, one of the books that we did several years ago. There's a little section there that I want to read to us that just blessed me while I was getting ready for this teaching. Hallelujah. It says, even though your spirit was reborn and you became a new creature when you surrendered your life to Christ, don't be surprised to discover that your mind, your will, and your emotions still think and feel the same way. I like that it lists the mind, the will, the emotions. See, a mind that has received the mind of Christ, a mind that is a sound mind, does not make decisions out of emotions. Our emotions are a part of our minds. They are a part of our being. But our emotions don't drive the direction of our lives. A mind that is sound, that has received the mind of Christ, that is sound, that has soundness of mind, like the Bible says we were given in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, does not live and direct its life out of its own self-will. You know how many times people say, and they may not say it out because they know, you know, everybody recognizes that's wrong, but how people think, well, this is what I'm going to do and I'm just going to do it and I don't care what anybody says, this is what I'm going to do. See, that is a carnal mind driving that life, and Romans chapter 8 is telling us that life is going to end up dead. Not necessarily physical death, because everybody dies physically at some point or the other. Eventually, physical death is going to come. But it's talking about separation from the life of God. Death from the very beginning of times in the Old Testament, when God spoke to Adam and Eve and said to them, if you eat of this fruit, and they said to them, this you can eat every other fruit, but not this fruit, not the fruits from on this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that you eat of it, you are going to die. Now, in their thinking, they thought dying meant cease to exist. A lot of people still think that way. They think the word death means to cease to exist. No, death doesn't mean to cease to exist. When the Bible says a carnal mind, says to be carnally minded is death. When the Bible says that, it doesn't mean your mind ceases to exist. It doesn't mean your life ceases to exist because you are carnally minded. No. The word death means separation from the source of your life. Separation from the source of your life. So if we become separated, if we are carnally minded, we are going to become separated from the source of our lives. If we are separated from the source of our lives, that means in multiple areas of our lives, we will not be able to enjoy the life of God. So think about it. We'll be stuck spiritually. We'll be stuck emotionally. We'll be stuck mentally. We'll be stuck in our physical lives, physical bodies. We'll be stuck in our relationships. We'll be stuck in our finances. We'll be stuck in our destiny. We'll be stuck in our ministries. We'll be stuck in our businesses. We'll be stuck in every area of our lives. If you are married, you'll be stuck in marriage. If you are raising a family, you'll be stuck in your ability to raise that family well. If you have a career, you'll be stuck in how well you can engage God's plan for your career. To be carnally minded is death, means we'll be separated from the source of our lives. The source of our lives, God, that's God. And when we are separated from the source of our lives, when our minds are separated from the source of our lives, that is corruption. That is actually the definition of corruption. That means that life gets corrupted. Let's read this further. It says, we do not automatically begin to think like God after we are saved. Our minds have been programmed for many years to think and respond in certain ways and to think certain thoughts that are foreign and opposite to the way God thinks and the way God acts. Our minds direct our lives and determine our direction and general predisposition in life. Regardless of how strong your conversion experience was, when you became born again, the only way to really become like Christ and fulfill the destinies which the Lord prepared for our life before we were born is to begin to think like God. Is to begin to think like God. Hallelujah. Let's read here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read from verse 17. I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Listen to this. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Notice this letter, the Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians is written to the church. It's written to believers. It's not written to unbelievers. It's not written to ungodly people. Paul is saying to the Ephesians, he says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, as the ungodly walk, in the futility of their minds. So their minds are futile. They are not productive. Remember what we read in Isaiah 55, where the Lord said, the Lord said, as the rain that comes down from heaven as the snow, so shall my word be. When it goes out, it produces. It prospers in the thing where to have sent it. It does not return to me void. Well, a futile mind is an unproductive mind. So a futile mind, an unproductive mind, cannot produce like it's intended to produce by the word of God. A futile mind cannot produce peace. A futile mind cannot produce healing. A futile mind cannot produce accelerated promotion. A futile mind cannot produce restoration in relationships. See, Paul says, don't live like the Gentiles in the futility of, as they live in the futility of their minds, because their minds are darkened. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. See, alienated, separated from the life of God. When a mind is carnal, when a mind is not sound, when a mind is not spirit controlled, when a mind is not spirit breathed, when a mind is not renovated, that mind is darkened, even though it's a believer, even though it's the mind of a Christian, is darkened in its understanding, and it is alienated, separated. The word alienated means separated from the life of God. Verse 19, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So even though it's a believer, that believer can still live in certain areas of their lives like an unbeliever because of the futility of their minds. Their minds are unproductive in those areas of their lives. Their minds cannot produce the mind, cannot produce the counsel of God, cannot produce the blessing of God, cannot produce the life of God, cannot produce the peace and the joy of God because those minds are not renovated by the word of God. Hallelujah. He said in verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Verse 23, watch this now. And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be renewed. It's not just to be renewed in your mind. No, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not just to change your mind every now and then over different things that happen in your life. No, it is to change the structural situation, the structural condition of your mind. To change that mind, to renovate that mind. To take on, to break down the elements of the ungodly nature of that mind and to take on the elements of the godly nature of the mind of Christ. Look at it. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice there, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The word right there is an original Greek word. I won't bother you with the, because none of us is going to remember. But it is very important that we study together what that word means. The phrase be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it means to renew, to be renovated by inward reformation. To be renewed, to be renovated by inward reformation. You see, we've talked about why we need this renovation. We've talked about why we need this transformation. Why we need this reformation. Hallelujah. We've talked about that. To renew, to make young, to make new, to make it another, qualitatively new. I love the way the Passion Translation, I love the way it renders Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Listen to that. I'm just going to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 in the Passion. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. See, you receive a revelation, you'll be made new by that revelation by working in your mind, renovating your mind. Notice this. It's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. You receive a revelation, you renovate your mind regarding that revelation, you become made new in your life. It's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, verse 24, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him, for God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. It's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. It's time to renovate our minds. It's time to change our minds and step up in our thinking. We cannot continue to think like the law of the earth. We cannot continue to think dust, think mud, think lowly thoughts. We cannot continue to process the things that come into our lives, the things that come into our ways from that dark place of an unrenewed mind. The way we were raised, the way we were trained, the old influences that we had in our lives, the things we heard, even though those things did not conform to the word of God. We cannot continue to do that. It's time. Listen to that again. It's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Each revelation that is given to us, we must be made new by it, by renovating our minds with that revelation. Our minds, it's time to change our minds and to step up in our thinking. It's time to take every limit off of our lives and off of our destiny. Hallelujah. I can't believe our time is so far gone already. I just can't believe that. I needed to read this. I'm going to pick up from here next week. By God's grace, we're going to read in Psalm 78. A group of people who limited God so much in their minds. And I have another excerpt that I want to read from one of our earlier publications that was titled Take the Limits Off. Take the Limits Off. Take the limits off of God by taking the limits off of your mind. Take the limits off of God in your life by taking the limits off of your mind. Take the limits off of God in your life by taking the limits off of your mind. It's time to renovate our minds. 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 Let's close together tonight. I can't believe our time is so far gone already. Let's close together by making this confession out of our 2025 confessions. Let's do it together. Say with me, I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by His grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is He who began this work in me, and He will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness, no tiredness, no weakness, no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I'm sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence amongst us. Thank you, God, for your holy word. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, the great teacher, for teaching us the word of God again tonight. Lord, as you've brought us into this process of renovating our minds so that we can elevate our lives, we receive all that you have prepared for us. We receive great grace. We thank you for it. I speak the blessing of heaven on all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. Bless them. Establish them, O God. Let this word continue to produce fruit in their lives. I give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm so excited about these things that the Lord is opening our eyes to, giving us fresh revelation about. We're out of time tonight. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.